Last week we talked about pride and humility and how pride can keep us from the gift of God. That's what there's two religions really in the world. There's one that says that you have to do something. You have to earn something in order for God to accept you. The other one says you can't do it. God gives it to you as a free gift. And it's our pride that makes so many gravitate to the one for works. If I do this and do that, I earn salvation. And God says, Lord, God's word says, by grace you're saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We'd all be in heaven proud about the good works that we did to earn God's favor. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by grace, so that God gets all the glory. And he deserves all that glory. And I was thinking about that, about Abraham, the man of faith. I said, well, how did he get saved? Look at Acts 7:2. Stephen is going over the history of Israel to those who didn't like the message and ended up stoning him after the end. I hope you all like the message today. Stones in the back. But verse 2, he says, men, brethren, fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. The God of glory appeared to him. Abraham was from Ur of the Chaldees in Iraq. Big city, city full of idolatry, full of idols. And here was one man that the God of glory appeared to him and told him, go to a country, leave your home, leave where everything's familiar. Go to a country I'm going to tell you about, even though you don't know about it yet. And he obeyed him. He was in a world of idols. You know, why do men gravitate to idols? Because they make gods that fit their own image. And they usually make them based on their own evil desires. You can find a god to worship that does anything, any sin that you enjoy, there's a god to worship. If it's alcohol and drunkenness, there's a god of drunkenness. You know, if it's sexual immorality, there's that god for it. Anyone you want, just pick and choose what you like. But you know, some people come to the Bible like that. They read the Bible and they pick and choose what verses they like. And they leave out the verses they don't like. Rather than allowing God's word to show what they're like in God's eyes, they pick the verses where they can say, yeah, I am pretty good. God will accept me just the way I am. And if he doesn't like me the way I am, that's tough. That's the attitude of the world. But when the God of glory appears to you, and he's the living God, and he shows that all these idols are just make-believe, they're just made up in the imaginations of men. The things that you raise up in your own mind to say, if I had that, I'd be secure. I'd have peace. I wouldn't have a worry in the world. If you raise anything to the level of God, that's idol worship. Whether it's money, fame, power, whatever. Anything that you can boast in your pride. But one thing we find is when the God of glory shines in our hearts, does it make us proud? No. It humbles us. His glory humbles us. I was going to say thank you, Jim, and thank you, Neil, for what you shared with. Because one of the examples I was going to use was Saul. You know, and he said God had to strike him down with a bright light, brighter than the noonday sun. In fact, every time he told the story, the light got brighter. And he became blind from it. And his blindness was different than other people's blindness. Those who are born blind, I assume, see dark. They don't see any light. It's just darkness. But the light of the God of glory that struck down Saul was so bright, all he could see when he opened his eye was that glory, that brightness. It blinded him to everything else. And it humbled him. Who are you, Lord? What do you have me do? When the God of glory speaks to us, we see our humility. It doesn't rise us up to boast that I was this or I was that. We realize that I'm saved. If I'm saved, it's because God loved me. Because He was gracious to me. Even though I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it at all. And I started thinking about others in Scripture of this same truth. Look at Hosea chapter 14. Remember, Hosea is written to mainly to the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom had divided. They cast off God's word. They decided to go their own way, turned away from the Lord. But God promised that He would bring them back. And the leading tribe in the north, the 10 tribes, was Ephraim, one of Joseph's sons. And Ephraim had turned away to idolatry. And they led them all to idolatry, to serve false gods. But God promised that in His grace, someday He would restore them and bring them back. And verse 8 says that when Ephraim is restored, he says this, "What have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and I have observed him." The God of glory, when He shines forth in His glory to our hearts, we realize that idols are nothing. They're Elohim, not Elohim. Nothings rather than God. And we say, what good are they? They're worthless. They're false. They're counterfeit gods. I have heard Him. I have seen Him. And that's the way the Lord works in our lives. We have all these idols we seek after. Many get enslaved to those idols. Call them addictions. And the addictions can be anything. Food. Chocolate. You know. Fame. Power. Just love to be loved. Just love to be liked. Becomes an addiction. But when you see the Lord, He shows us what we are, and He shows us what He is. We only get a true evaluation of what man is when we see the Lord. When you cast off God and you make yourself God, and you try to make up your own knowledge of good and evil. You make up your own morality. You don't stop there. You make up your own sexuality. Anything you want goes, because you're God. But when you see the living God, you see, I'm not God. I'm a fake God. These are all fake gods. I've heard him and have seen him. Have you heard him and seen him? David, Psalm 8. Young man out in the fields, tending the sheep, looking up at the sky at night, says in verse 3, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained." He saw the God of glory expressed in his works. Did it make him proud? What does he say? "What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visit him?" We have the Hubble telescope. We have all these ways of looking into the distant sky, and we haven't found the end of it yet. The glory of it. And we have the microscope. Looks down and tells us about our DNA. And how complicated it is. Like no computer program we have, which only programs linearly. God programs in four dimensions. Absolutely incredible. And can form a child in the womb of its mother that has organs, eyes, ears, a mouth, that has no use in the womb. It's made for another world. And at birth, the eyes open. Suddenly they see everything coming in. Their ears open, can suddenly hear. I've been thinking more, that's kind of the way it's going to be for us when we wake up in heaven. Our eyes will be opened. Our ears open for another world that God has prepared us for. By the way, I don't see how evolution can come up with an idea of how the womb, by the circumstances of the womb, can make changes in the fetus to project to a world that's in the future is beyond me. I think it's beyond him as well. Only God can do it. But he sees the glory of God. The God of glory speaks to David just from creation. He speaks in creation. And people just refuse to hear and say Mother Nature and their other false gods that they want to give glory to rather than the living God. David's out there taking care of the sheep. And he's thinking, well, you know what? These helpless sheep, I'm doing everything for them. They don't need anything. And he realizes the God of glory is like that shepherd. He's my shepherd. I don't know how to take care of myself. He does all the leading and the guiding. And even when he takes me through dark valleys, I sense his presence. Thou art with me. My cup runs over, presence on my enemies. Anything that you can throw at me, the God of glory is with me. And my future, surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. What a God we have. Isaiah chapter 6. He sees the God of glory. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Strain filled the temple. The angels are there. And they're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the posts are moved. The house is filled with smoke. Is He proud? When He sees the God of glory? No, what does He say? "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." The God of glory appeared to Isaiah. And he's humbled. He realizes in the presence of such a holy God, he is so unclean. Can he come and say, "God, accept me with my uncleanness. I'm good enough"? No, he's not. He knows he needs to be cleansed. And an angel comes with a coal from the altar, cleanses him. That's what the Lord does to us. When we see the God of glory and what we are, what is man? We're unclean. We say, "Lord, I need cleansing. I can't cleanse myself." It has to be the work of the altar. Sacrifice of your Son. Moses, in Exodus 3, when he meets the Lord, he's a shepherd on the backside of the desert. Exodus 3:2-6. He sees this burning bush. And it keeps burning, but it's never consumed. He turns aside to see. In verse 4 it says, "When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, said, Moses, Moses. He said, Here am I. He said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover," he said, "I'm the God of Abraham, of thy father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob." Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. There's the effect, the God of glory. He sees a sign, a burning bush, turns aside to see. He says, "Take off your shoes. The thickness of your shoe leather is too high to be standing on holy ground. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Did that make Moses proud? No, it humbled him. To see the God of, truly see the God of glory, humbles us to the ground. Joshua chapter 3. Verse 13. Wait a minute. Got the wrong verse. It's about the captain of the Lord appearing to Joshua. And he sees him Maybe somebody can help me out. I got the wrong chapter, I think.
Joshua 5:13.
5:13. Thank you. Yes. 5:13. Thank you. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him, said unto him, Are you for us or for our enemies? He said, No, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth, did worship, said unto him, What says my Lord unto his servant? The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, Loose your shoe from off your foot, for the place whereon you stand is holy. It was the same thing. Same one, Joshua. It's a appearing of Christ. He's the leader of God's army. He's the one for us. And Joshua recognized he's the God of glory is appearing to him. And he tells him the same story that he said to Moses. Take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. This is holy ground. Whenever the God of glory appears to us, it's holy ground. We need to bow before him and worship. Luke chapter 5. Peter, the fisherman. He and his company were out fishing all night. They caught nothing. They had met the Lord before, but he was a carpenter. He didn't know anything about fishing. You know, you fish all night. And you know, we're tired and we're pulling in the nets. And here comes the Lord and he tells him to cast your net. Let down your nets for a trout. Verse 4. And Simon kind of said, Master, we toiled all night, taking nothing. Yet at your word, I'll let down a net. It's a net. I know there's a difference in some of the texts. Some throw nets in there, but I think net is the correct word. Because, you see, Peter knew more about fishing than the Lord. And they had pulled in all their nets. But he kind of said, Lord, all right. We'll let down a net just to humor you. And so they let down the net and they get so many fish, they fill both ships with all the fish so that they began to sink. And verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. He said, Depart from me. For I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all they that were with him, at the draught of fish which they had taken. He saw the God of glory. He saw that Jesus was not just a carpenter. He knew where the fish were. He knew exactly what he meant. It wasn't a waste of Peter's time. If Peter would have obeyed and let down all the nets, the boats wouldn't have been a problem. But he realized the God of glory was there. And is he proud about it? Wow, God's revealed himself to me. And now he says, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. And we know why he was a sinful man. If you think of it that he was only letting down one net instead of all the nets, He was half-hearted. He thought he knew better. But he realized the Lord, he was the God of all glory. He should have listened, should have obeyed. How often when we have not listened, we have to look back and say, why didn't I listen? Why didn't I follow what God said? Instead, I didn't have a word. I didn't do the right thing. How many times after the situation has passed, the right verse comes to our mind? We said, oh, I wish I'd have said that to him. And I didn't have it ready to be able to be used to the Lord for a word in season. But in our dealings with the God of glory, there's nothing to boast. It's only worship. We praise Him. We saw, there's so many other examples of it. The woman at the well was mentioned earlier. Go call your husband. He must be a prophet. I've had five husbands, but he says, you've had five husbands, but the one you have now isn't your husband. And she runs off and says, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Isn't this the Christ? Nathaniel is alone, praying under a fig tree. And they come to him and say, we found the Messiah. He's from Nazareth. Nazareth. Well, there's one strike against him. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And the Lord says to him, hey, Nathaniel, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. How could he? The God of glory saw him. He's the one he was praying to. He was by himself. Nobody else was there. Bows, says, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. And Thomas. Except, and here he had been with the Lord. Except I put my fingers in his hands, or into my hand in his side, I'll not believe. A week later, hey Thomas, you missed the mass meeting. You should have been there. come here. Put your fingers there. Put your hand there. My Lord and my God. God of glory shined in his heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what he does to save us. He speaks to us from his word, from his creation. But now that God's word is fulfilled, particularly from his word, if he doesn't speak to you from his word because you don't read his word, shame on you. Read his word. Hear his voice. And when you see something you don't understand, turn aside like Moses to see what's there. And you'll see, hear the God of glory speaking to you. But there's over and over again, Job. He could say all kinds of things until God appears to him. And he says to him, Job finally says, I abhor myself. Repent in dust and ashes. John, when he sees him in Revelation, his glory, the God of glory, he falls down at his feet, is dead. Abraham saw the God of glory, heard his voice. He became the father of many nations through his seed. God tested him. Same voice over and over. He's getting older and older. How did you say I was going to, they were going to have us all as the dust of the earth? And as the stars of that. How was that again? When was that going to be? Finally, Sarah said to him, well, maybe you misunderstood. Must be through my Egyptian servant, Ishmael. No. 13 years later, you're going to have a child. Sarah's going to have a child. And you know all that laughter going on when I told you about it? Remember, Abraham laughed in faith because he believed God. Sarah laughed in unbelief. I'm dead. Yeah, I can't have a child now. Oh, yeah, you will. You've got to name him Laughter. Yitzhak, Laughter. God who made us laugh. The God of glory kept shining on Abraham's path. That first time when God appeared to him wasn't the last. And as God saved us, shown us his son, as we're open to him personally with us, he loves to reveal himself over and over again. Often in little things. Elijah with a still small voice. Sometimes it's a verse you might have read 100 times. And then you read it one day and there's a word in that verse that was never there before. You know? Wait, I got to go back and read that. I never noticed that. Well, when God does that, go back and look at that. Think about it. He has a blessing for us. Because the God of glory wants to just not reveal himself once. He wants the Christian path to be that of glory. And it's his glory. And that's why humility is where his glory shines forth. Pride always takes it away because it's glory for myself rather than glory for him. Shall we pray? Lord, we don't know why you have ever saved us. It wasn't anything in us. It was all your grace. I don't know why you revealed yourself to us. We thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to ever stay humble, to ever see the glories of your Son, Father, in all his ways, in all his words, the greatness of his salvation. We know only eternity will tell us how great it is. We thank you in your name. Amen.